7 o'clock hour.
William Tausch
begins now.
And it begins with more of your calls.
And so, if you Jason, want, before we grab the next call, the one thing I do want to say to defensively, it felt like a real sit back, and it wasn't the aggressive. And obviously, Detroit's running game had something to do with that. But I didn't sense that. And I just keep going back to, and I said this last week too, Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney is a dog. Evan Williams, a difference maker. And without him out there, it's just a different group. Just a different operation. It didn't feel as aggressive as what I'm used to seeing from Hafley at all.
So the other, I know he shared a sack with Aaron Mosby yesterday, but at some point,
Steinhoffler.
Yeah. Do we need to have a further conversation about Rashawn Gary? I mean, he's, again, another game where he's not a field tilter. He's not tilting the field in their favor.
What do you want to converse about? Like, what do you want to do?
I don't know. I'm trying to understand why he's not productive, and why it's not getting done. I don't understand it. I'm trying to understand it. I don't get it. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. I bring that up because I heard a ridiculous stat from someone yesterday that of all of his sacks, like, they're all bunched together in these handful of really big performances in single games. Like, he's got a bunch of, like, 2 and 3 sack games, and then he's got so many that are 0 sack games. And I'm trying to understand why he should be back to being the guy you thought was becoming an elite pass rusher by now, removed from his knee injury. So sure, that could be part of the discussion as well. Let's get back to the phones. Jesse, we waited too long and we lost Ricardo?
No.
Yeah, it's on you guys.
It's on us. Ricardo is the shining bright light.
And he had some good stuff. He was gonna. Ricardo will call back. I'm confident.
Yeah, we need Ricardo. Maybe he can finish up the show.
We have a fast pass waiting for Ricardo when he does give us a call back.
Come on, Ricardo, that's on us.
All right. Well, let's continue.
I'll apologize for that Evan Williams take.
Well, let's continue inside the U.S. but outside the state of Wisconsin again. Let's go to Johnny in Michigan. Honolulu Blue Johnny. Or Packers fan Johnny, surrounded by Lions fans. Johnny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Packers fan, surrounded by Lions fans. I'm no Ricardo, but I do want to bring some positivity to the show this morning. I think there's a 7-minute stretch in the middle of this game that, if it goes differently, we're looking at a great chance to knock off the best team in the NFL. I also think this is a different game if any of Jair, Evan Williams, or Josh Myers plays. And so if I'm looking at the big picture, I think we've got a little over a month to see if we can close the gap with what I think is the best team in the NFL. And I just think that's a pretty good spot to be right now.
So I love this because this was kind of how I was talking before this game, right? That, hey, even if they lose, a lot of season left, you're going to see these guys again. Look, I don't know how much the absence of Josh Myers was a factor.
Definitely didn't help.
But it certainly didn't help. Back to finishing each other's.
Yeah, sentences. Just way too many snaps that, and I don't know if Jordan with his, you know, groin, if he couldn't stretch and reach with some of the snaps that
low.
Were low and to his left.
Mm-hmm.
Elgton Jenkins, I think, is going to be the center next year. I think Josh Myers, I give him a ton of credit because he took a lot of shrapnel last year.
He did.
From a lot of folks. And he has bounced back, and he's got all kinds of stuff that he's dealt with, and obviously now he's got an injury. And I think he's played pretty good football this year. He's been a steady, steady player. And I thought it was noticeable yesterday. I don't know. I'll be curious when we talk to Blue later this week, how Jordan Morgan fared playing every snap.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple of breakdowns I saw, but I think all in all, it didn't feel like Jordan was under duress a ton yesterday. I didn't feel like that was the case, and they ran the ball pretty well. So I thought coming into this week, I'm not going to panic if they get beat.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good chance that Detroit would beat Green Bay. Detroit's a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was disappointing was that they didn't beat us at our best, which we can all live with. Players can live. When you get beat and you play good football, but they just play a little better, that's not the games that, like, eat at your core. Yesterday, the Packer players and coaches are looking at this saying, yeah, Detroit's good. They're smug. But we didn't give them our best. We didn't even come close to giving them our best. And that's the stuff that irks you as a player and a coach.
So Elgton Jenkins' line was, the team that executed won today, the better team didn't win today.
Well, but that's part of being a better team.
Yeah, that's
in fairness to Elgton, and I love Elgton.
Mm-hmm.
You have to execute, too. Yeah, you could say you're more talented. You make a really good argument across the board, but that doesn't mean jack. This team is hardened. The Detroit Lions were a hardened, more fundamentally sound football team yesterday. Period. End. Fin. There's nothing else needs to be said, and they showed it. They executed their plan. But, yeah, the great thing about divisional football, you get another crack at them, and it'll be – hopefully at that point, Detroit stumbles a little bit, Green Bay starts picking up steam, and we'll see. But you're going to get another great test in early December,
mm-hmm.
and that's when you really want to start playing your best ball.
844-770-3776. Let's go to Gunner in Butler. Gunner, thanks for holding on. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, guys. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. What do you got for us?
Okay. The great things was the great big flag. Is there a better pregame in all of the sports when you go there, the flyover, fireworks, and then Tausch, they had your band up there in pouring rain,
oh,
and their guy
that.
Is up there with his baton and his beautiful black suit just getting rained on. And I'm like, what a gamer. I'm like, how do you not get fired up for a game? The Lions fans were very respectful, the ones around us, very passionate. Hey, everybody loves a winner, so, I mean, my goodness, they got a lot to bark about, but they haven't done the big one yet, so we'll see. That was good stuff. They were very, very nice folks that we bumped into. The old school uniforms, I loved it. I thought they were kind of cool, you know, but raining like the Dickens, and it was a bear out there. I thought the positive first half D was very good. The air went out of the balloon when he threw that pick before the half. I'll tell you what. It was like, I'm like, how crazy are we going to get down here, you know? It'll be 10-3 at half? Everybody would have walked in going, okay, we're hanging with these dogs. And then he throws that pick, and they get the kick, and it just changed everything. The air went out of the balloon in that stadium. And another bad one was the discipline. Goff, they had 4th and 5, and Goff is, you know, barking the alphabet in numerics, and I'm like, don't jump, don't jump, don't jump. I mean, I thought for sure they were 5 yards. That's a long way, you know. And then they got half, and oh, they banged it in, and that was. That let the air out because you kind of knew he was running through the alphabet. I don't think he was running a play, and we jumped and gave him half that distance, and that kicked us right nowhere. So, but, yeah, I mean, it was a fun time and crazy weather, only in Green Bay, you know. And one last thing is the kick. I don't think anybody – we were watching the kickers at pregame, and that gal darn Lion guy was missing from inside 40. And I'm like, what? And we trot him out. We don't try to go for 6 there. We trot him out, what was it, 45, 46 guys? Wow. That was a tough one that he missed. What was that, 45?
Yeah, 46, I believe, yep.
46, okay. That would have been a heck of a kick in that crap, I'll tell you what. So I just wonder if you either get him more yards or just go for it or something. I don't know. But anyway, that's it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate all your time.
Thank you, Gunner. We appreciate you.
That's some great calls today so far.
We have. I'm curious.
You didn't like calls a while ago.
Man. I like calls under this umbrella for sure. I felt really bad for the Badger band because it never stopped raining, and by the time the fifth quarter was starting, All that was left were Lions fans who were still kind of milling about celebrating. And then they headed for the exits too. And then I think all that was left were Badger band parents in a very cavernous stadium. It looked like a Division VII high school football championship game at Camp Randall.
I mean, you're still playing Lambeau Field.
I know. And I love the band. Best
Mr.
team on campus right now.
I would think you'd love that. Just you and your family get to basically rent out Lambeau.
It's like a private show.
Concert.
Yeah.
Well, but I was going down to press conferences to have Matt LaFleur tell us that we were really annoying him. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's get to one more call here, and then we will have Terry and Brandon and Darcy and Mike and Dave still coming up. But let's go to Ron in Rome, Wisconsin, not Italy. Rome, good morning. Rome. Ron, good morning in Rome. How you doing?
Good. You know, I was at the game yesterday, and my positives are the team looked flat and undisciplined, but Josh Jacobs looked like he was giving it all. He looked
Amen.
Like, for some reason it just felt like, well, the team doesn't seem to have it, but yeah, Josh Jacobs got it. And then the other thing I thought was positive was I didn't expect to win this game, and then I was actually, in the beginning of the game, I'm like, hey, we're hanging with these guys. And then even the thing that upset me the most was the 3 false starts. And you should have no false starts in your home stadium. And then to have 3 of them, and then the undisciplined penalties. But then I was like, all right, fine, it's 10-3. We haven't been playing well, but, you know, we can get a better second half. Yeah, and like the other caller said, that pick 6, that just was a kick in the groin. And I've been a defender I've been a defender of Love and saying, well, he's young. He's just searching for the line between aggression and carelessness. But if he would have had that interception in the early first quarter, something you're like, all right, fine. But the situation was we weren't playing well. It's bad weather. We're having drops. And we were lucky to be in this position. The football gods are giving us a break. Don't be stupid with 58 seconds. So that's where it looked like. Do you have any situational awareness?
Hey, Ron, do you put that on LaFleur too? Or are you all right with how Matt handled that?
Oh, when he says he's annoyed about the interceptions?
Oh, no. Just you're backed up. You got 58 seconds and you're rolling, or is that all you putting that all on Jordan?
Well, and let me add this before you answer, Ron. Looking at the I think it was Andy Herman who posted the video of it. That is designed as a shot play down the field to Reed, who is open if you watch the clip of it. And so he is trying to check it down because he doesn't have enough time to get the ball to Reed, who is open well downfield. It was an aggressive call by LaFleur, and then once it's not there, he should have just thrown it out of bounds. Now, Ron, sorry to interrupt you.
Well, I don't remember which game it was this year, but I remember we had over a minute, maybe a minute and a half in one of the games before halftime, and we just took a knee. And everybody gave LaFleur a bunch of trouble, and he's like, I still would do that again. I think it was a smart thing to do. You know, we were in a pretty good situation. We didn't want to do anything stupid before halftime. And then he does the exact opposite yesterday. So I don't know if it was an overreaction to his previous criticism.
Yeah, look, thanks for the call, Ron. I think he made some good points there. That's another great call. I'm just, you know, again, are we going to, because of the results, you know, you always tell me not to play the results, right? So there's a minute left. You have one timeout left. You called timeouts. You just held the Lions to a field goal. If you're Matt LaFleur is he's sick. He has to stay home from work. And they say, Tausch, we need you to be the interim head coach. In that situation, are you eating the ball and going in down 10-3? Or are you calling the shot play that was open if it was blocked up and you've got a chance to try and be aggressive and go get points, maybe even a touchdown, and go in at 10-10? I understand what the outcome was, pick 6 to put you down 17-3, but which are you doing if you're Matt LaFleur's fill-in?
I'm going to be aggressive. I'm in the same boat. Even though it's crappy out, if you're ahead and you're getting the football, I maybe look at it a little bit differently, but you're coaching your guys to play a certain way. And you're kind of, if you're not going to go ahead and do that, guys don't believe what you're saying. So I want him to be aggressive. You have to trust your players to make sure you don't look foolish. And that's where I think Matt LaFleur probably is looking at this and saying, is he now questioning how aggressive he can be in some spots because he doesn't necessarily trust the decision-making of his quarterback? I certainly hope he's thinking that because there have been some times you've been rewarded, but yesterday was an absolute backbreaker. That cost you. That was the dagger in that football game.
So, speaking of looking foolish, sounds to me like somebody foolishly went less on Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I was an idiot yesterday. Yeah, I didn't have a good day. I went more, or I went less with Goff, 1.5 rushing. That was a win. I went less than Josh Jacobs, and I also went less on Jordan Love passing yards because I thought it was sloppy and everything. So not a great day on Prize Picks for me, but it still was fun. Made it even that much more interesting. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody. Just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves, Prize Picks will keep your lineup live. Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, they're safe, they're secure, and when your picks hit, you get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. Download the app today, use that code WI. You get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run!
You're
a game.
There you go.
More of your calls. Next. How to drink that coffee. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
You can hurt me tomorrow. You can hurt me, 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 you can hurt me.
844-770-3776. Tausch, anything you wanted to get in before I get to more calls?
Yeah, I think at some point I do want to discuss that targeting penalty and ejection. The fact that, when did the NFL become college football? Like, it was
great question.
Hit. It was definitely a flag. We ended up getting 30 yards out of it, so it was great.
And wasted it.
I don't want to see Xavier McKinney do that and get drummed out of a game. Like, did we have these discussions, and was this all – because college, we've complained for years about it.
Huh?
Well, you can't find the players. Fine him, but to drum him from the game just unilaterally because somebody in New York called down and said, yo, get old boy out the game? I didn't like any of that. I didn't. That's just another thing that I just kind of written down in my notes.
Right, and it goes back to what we've said about the sky judge that just has been implemented unilaterally.
Yeah. Which, by the way, some of it, if it's right, I don't mind it. This doesn't feel... All I'm saying is, yes, it was cute and it worked for us yesterday, and it was a hit that you're getting out of the game. And I love the fact the NFL's doing it. I'm totally good with.
Yeah.
But I don't like that because I'm telling you, if Evan Williams does that in a NFC championship game against Detroit in the first quarter, and it's somebody from New York calls says, get him out the game, I'm livid.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So there, I had a text here. I forgot who it was from, and I've lost it now. But the text said one of their negatives. Straight. One of their negatives was
nailed it.
Big game Burkhart and Brady didn't like Brady's analysis yesterday. But it sounds like you might agree with him when he was talking about the targeting ruling.
No, I just don't like the fact that we have not discussed. I don't know if that was negotiated, but college football gets it wrong on the ejections, in my opinion. I don't want guys suspended and then thrown out, and then they miss the first half of the next game, and they got to warm up in the locker room by themselves. All of it's idiotic. Like, I get it. We want to get guys out of the game, and if you want, eject them for the rest of that game in college. That's been talked about. This just randomly was like, this wasn't a Jack Tatum hit. Like, it was a hit. He did try to lead with his shoulder. The kid tried to do it. It was he ended up going head-to-head. You get the flag, you're going to get a big old fine, but then to drum him, and it wasn't the officials on the field that drummed him?
No.
Some
Perry
dude called up and was
in
like,
New York.
Yo, get him out. And then the other thing that was one of my positives, I was texting with my boy Blandino. That was a weird scene. He's sitting in the back, like he looked like a weird, and I texted him that he looked like a creep, sitting in that back corner of the booth when Brady and Burkhart went in. Did you see that, Jesse?
Yeah,
he's sitting back there. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Was that?
Like, you don't have a seat for you?
Was it like
he's sitting back there, like, trying to stay off the camera, but he was sitting in a corner like Willie Bo Peep? The whole thing was just crazy to me.
Willie Bo Peep?
Who's that? Yeah.
That's Little Bo Peep's older brother.
That was a weird deal.
Okay. Everyone in the village knew Willie Bo Peep was kind of a weirdo.
Willie Lump Lump.
I believe it's time to get back to the calls. 844-770-3776. Terry in San Diego. Terry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show today, other than that Willie Bo Peep thing there. But, I very much agree with your, I hate to say it, your callers from Minnesota who started out the show, and I wanted to expound a little bit on what they were saying regarding coaching. Because as I was watching the game yesterday, kind of came to me, there has been, it seems like, a lot of chatter among Packer fans and even maybe some of those who cover the Packers about Lions head coach Dan Campbell being, you know, for want of a better word, a bit of a meathead. But when I watch the Lions play, I see a highly motivated team that plays in concert with one another. They play with a lot of energy, but they are also highly disciplined, the ejection that we're talking about notwithstanding, and they execute at a high level. And their execution is not just on offense, which has been off the charts, but considering all the players they were down on defense yesterday, including probably the defensive player of the year who's been out for a month and still has twice as many sacks as anyone on our team, and even on special teams, they execute. Now, in Green Bay, we have Matt LaFleur, who's one of the longer-tenured coaches in the NFL at this point, and he's developing his own reputation, and certainly one part of that reputation is he's an extremely bright and innovative guy when it comes to the offense. But another part of LaFleur's reputation, at least, you know, and I could tell you, you know, I actually live not too far from T.J. O'Sullivan, or J.T. O'Sullivan, I should say. I was talking to him recently about this. The Packers kind of have a reputation when it comes to the big games. They're not that disciplined, and their execution isn't that high. And that's really been true, but not exclusively true in the playoffs. And that's kind of what I looked at yesterday's game. Tausch said it to begin the game. The Lions just kept it close to the vest. They let the Packers beat themselves.
Yeah.
And that's not a new trend. That's not something new. And I hate to say it, but the Meathead and his team look like the far more disciplined, better executing team. They look to be better coached yesterday.
So I think you make some really good points, Terry, and say hi to JT O'Sullivan for me next time you see him. I think Terry hit on something, though, that I found concerning. And that was the fact that the indoor team playing its first game outdoors all year and one of only three games that it has to play all year outside, was far more sure-handed. They didn't drop balls. They didn't drop snaps. And I understand the Packers were missing Josh Myers, so that's part of the equation. They didn't commit, other than the targeting penalty or whatever we're calling it now, they didn't commit a ton of penalties. They were disciplined, and that is what you would expect from a team that is coached by a handsome, smart fellow, more than the guy that people... And look, I was wrong about Dan Campbell. I have owned that from the beginning. And I was certainly thinking I was right when they started like 1-7 in 2022. But I was wrong. His deal resonates with his players. He's got a bunch of good players. He's got a really smart offensive coordinator. And his guys believe in him. But to Terry's point, Tausch, I was shocked that the team that was more disciplined and handled the conditions far better was the Lions and not the home team in that game. Were you?
Jesse, put down another note for this week. Is Lambeau still a big at home field advantage for the Green Bay Packers? Because I had a bunch of people flooding timelines yesterday saying, we're not built for that. Detroit is. I don't think Jared Goff is built for that. I mean, he's wearing two gloves. He's doing all this other stuff. The game of football is getting more and more built on turf, indoors, precision passing. It's not about pounding people into submission. Detroit still likes doing that. And by the way, I think Green Bay, I believe they had more rushing yards than Detroit did yesterday. Yeah, you could fact check me on that. I think it was close. Green Bay is not some non-physical team. They want to be physical. But you fall behind 24-3, you're basically your whole second half, you're now in a game of I got to wing it around in a wet, sloppy field conditions, the whole deal. So I don't think it was that to the same degree, but the discipline and the veteran and all of the stuff that, you know, our last caller just said, very fair points. Very fair. One of the little snippets that I heard yesterday in the broadcast that I thought was super interesting, that didn't, I don't know if it got a lot of love on social media, but LaFleur told Brady he spends $100 a week on his looking good. Did you catch that?
I did not hear that, but I had someone else ask me about that too.
Brady said it, and it was in passing, and I thought, I wonder if that's one of those, you don't say it on air. I know he can't do production meetings, so that's a whole different deal. But let's see if we can, if one of our fans can't send us that clip. I don't want to be spreading foolishness, but I heard him say it. And I was thinking, that seems light for a handsome fellow like that. I would have thought it'd be more.
From the New York Post, headline, Tom Brady gushes over handsome Matt LaFleur during critical Packers play.
Yeah, it was an odd time for what was going on.
I was so impressed.
Together, that's for sure.
Look at that guy. Look at that perfect little mustache and goatee that he's got.
Look at that guy. Look at that
perfect
little
mustache. I was so impressed when I saw him in the tunnel. Such a handsome guy. He said he spends $100 a week keeping himself looking like that.
I feel like that's too low. Don't you think? I mean, he's probably getting all kinds of different stuff.
Would LaFleur be more annoyed by that question or a Jordan Love question today?
It was an odd part of the broadcast. I'll say that.
There's no way.
Very odd.
I'll be honest. I am not going to ask him today at 2 o'clock, Matt, how do you spend $100 on your appearance? Is that pomades? Is that deodorant? Is that your clipper that you use to trim your
beard?
It's got to
be, he gets a haircut every week, probably like a mustache and beard trim.
A trim, yeah.
Eyebrows. You know he's an eyebrow guy. So it was. I just thought it was a really weird observation.
Is today?
That's what the stuff you talk about when you're getting beat 42-10 in a football game. Those are the things you talk about, not in a second quarter of a dogfight in a couple of top teams in the NFC going at it.
Yeah, Blackledge was saying that about Kirk Ferentz on Saturday night too, I think. Is today the last press conference before they like go on vacation and have a dinner and take a beat?
I think we have Goody tomorrow after the trade deadline. But it's the last one with LaFleur until they come back from the bye.
At the very end, just say, hey, Matt, before you go, how much you spending on...
how much are you going to spend up on
you hear what Brady said about you yesterday? That'd be a nice way to send him off into the bye week.
Hey, Matt, I spend about $100 a year on my appearance.
I know a great barber in Verona, if you're interested.
What do I need to do a complete Matt LaFleur makeover? All right, I want to get to more of your calls. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We do not need to discuss Matt LaFleur's appearance any further. What we do need to discuss is American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
And Packer fans, get ready for some game day excitement. Next time you're at Lambeau and it's raining, stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play or a pick six, whatever you want to do, with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways, from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. There's something for everyone. Visit us at Title Town to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/Packers.
We'll keep it going with the calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Like I missed out. I would have liked to have heard that. That would have brought a smile to my face. 844.
And as Matt Coonan pointed out, Jesse with a great little Verona barbershop drop there.
Not a barber. Maybe stylist. Stylist. Yeah, stylist.
Okay.
Is that better or worse?
Better. Lacey's got a lot in her repertoire. Let's keep going with the calls, because a lot of people have been waiting on hold, and I don't want to keep them waiting talking about my haircuts. Let's get to Brandon in Tulsa. Brandon, good morning. Thanks for holding, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me okay? I'm in a hotel, and the Wi-Fi has been really bad.
You sound amazing.
Good. Sound great.
Keep it up.
Oh, good deal. Okay. Yeah, quickly, my positive would be Matt LaFleur. I still think he called a pretty not great game. I'd still rather have him as my head coach than 99% of the other guys in the league. I know he wants to win, and he's smart enough to make adjustments with the team he's got, not the team he wants. So not a great game for him, but I still thought at the end of the day, you know, his passion and drive to win and coach up is not a concern for me. So
okay.
That being said, my negative, and Tausch, I keep hearing you talk about Jordan not being a finished product. And Jason, you made a comment how we as fans build up our guys right when they're either signed or drafted or whatever. And I'll admit, yeah, we do that because, you know, what else are we supposed to do? Hate every pick? I mean, you want to see the good film and hope the guys that your GM picks are going to turn into a player that helps you win a Super Bowl. That being said, I do think it's time for Packer fans, me, you, Tausch, and everyone else to start considering that some guys on this team are exactly who they look like, and that includes Jordan. I'm going to start with Rashawn Gary. This just might be who he is. He's a good player, but that's it. I mean, how many years in the league does a guy have to be before you say, well, he's just not elite? You know, you don't have to be elite to be a productive member of the team. Now, it stinks that he got an elite contract, but beyond that, we keep wondering, well, why isn't he more productive? Well, maybe it's because he can't be more productive because he's just not that good. You know, at a certain point, doesn't a player hit a ceiling, Tausch, and a coach says, okay, here's what you're good at, here's what you're not good at, and this is just who you are? That's a possibility. And I think it's time we need to stop waiting for the breakout of, all right, now he's the guy we knew he could be. This just might be who he is. And I'll segue into Jordan. Yeah, he's only a year and a half starter, so he's definitely not a finished product. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, did we all forget that Goody refused to give him a fifth-year option, even though it would have been cheaper long run than the mess they went into 18 months after? Like, it's entirely possible that Jordan Love is not the guy we saw in the last half of last season, and he's not the guy that we saw in the first half of last season. He's just a mix of in between. Sometimes really good, sometimes really bad. It might be a 10% chance. I don't think that's the case. I think Jordan's going to end up being an elite quarterback on a consistent level, but that's because I'm a fan. But I do think it's time we start considering he might just be regressing towards the mean of who he is. Even though he's unfinished a product, we got to stop with these expectations of, well, you know, we're scratching our heads trying to figure out why he's not an elite Hall of Fame quarterback right now. Well, maybe because he's not going to be, you know. And by the way, Goody has built a roster good enough to win with a Kirk Cousins-style quarterback. Jordan does not have to be Aaron Rodgers for us to win a Super Bowl. That's my opinion. I think Brian Gutekunst knows what he's doing, and he's able to fill this roster with enough good to really good players, and I think Coach LaFleur is smart enough and capable enough that even without a T.J. Watt and Josh Allen – because that's what we want our guys to be, we can still win with a quarterback who knows what he's good at, plays within the offense, and a D coordinator like Halfley who knows the players he has and coaches them in such a way to make them successful. The defense played good yesterday. He gave up 17 points. I'm not concerned. I'm completely on board with Tausch's idea of disappointed, not discouraged. I'm still picking this team to win the Super Bowl. I just hope Jordan, after the bye, comes back and says, okay, I've got to take a step back and start playing within the offense that my excellent coach has built for me and not try to be the $55 million man. That's my opinion.
Brandon, great call.
Brandon, really good call, and I love the fact that he quoted my favorite quote that I quoted earlier in the show.
Yeah. Quoting you back to and you is always a good move.
The fact that he still, Brandon still has us winning the Super Bowl and having the doubts that he has, your critique of Jordan Love is fair game. Jordan Love has done some really good things, but he's making way too many big mistakes. You're not going to win big if he continues to make those mistakes. And he's got to get that rectified. He's thrown a bunch of touchdowns. He's done a lot of really good things. He's played a lot of good football, but you're going to get your blank beat by making the mistakes that he's made. And for Rashawn Gary, I usually don't do this. I usually have Jesse do it. But I went and did research on the Rashawn Gary contract because they paid him a ton of money. You know, a $35 million signing bonus. That was what's guaranteed. They basically are paying him a ton of money in 26 and 27. He's not going to see that deal. He'll be here next year for sure. He's making $6.8 million next year, which is nothing when it comes to being a defensive end pass rusher. So his base salary's $5 million. This year it's only $1.1 million. He restructured. So his signing bonus, you're basically, if you wanted to get out from under the Rashawn Gary contract, next year he's going to be a Green Bay Packer. If he does not improve and showcase better, 26 and 27, his base salaries are 18 and 21, which, by the way, that's still a nothing burger. If you're an elite D-end, the Bosa's and that, and he has not been that. But you're going to get out of it for about $13 million. You'll be, the dead cap hit will be $13 million. So he's got a year and some change to kind of elevate himself, but this isn't some contract that will be just a dead, burdensome thing. If he does not elevate his game, it's not as big a deal as people think. I just want to make sure that, because everybody seems to be really disappointed with what Rashawn has given us so far.
And they have a right to be. It's the expectation game, and he's not meeting it. Let's get to one more call before the break. Let's go to Darcy in Fitchburg. Darcy, thanks for holding on so long. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great. My positive was the same as Brandon's, and it was the defense only giving up 17 points against a really good offense. Mm-hmm. And even though it didn't look great, I was so nervous without Jair and Evan Williams that it was going to be much worse. So there's certainly room for improvement, but they kept us in the game. So that was my positive. And I'm hoping that my negative turns into a positive, because obviously my negative is the penalties and the mistakes. But I like what Josh Jacobs said in his post-game interview, that the mistakes have been there all season, but they were still winning. So I have this analogy because I'm a parent of a preteen, but I can tell my son to go wear a coat because it's cold, but sometimes he doesn't take me seriously until he gets really cold. Mm-hmm. And I know that Matt LaFleur has been telling this team, like, repeatedly that they need to clean it up. It's going to cost them. And I'm just hoping that yesterday, since they got exposed for their mistakes and lost, that might be the tipping point to get their attention, that they have got to clean it up.
All right, Darcy, hold on, because I think when anyone goes with an analogy, we go to the king of analogies for a grade and an assessment.
Oh,
Tausch,
sure.
You are the king
I'm
of the analogy.
I'm giving Darcy an A.
Yeah,
I'm giving
Darcy a big
an A.
Fan of it. Huh?
Yes. I said yes.
Really good, really good. And you're right. It is like you're a preteen and wearing a coat. They learned the hard way yesterday because they did get away with a lot of those mistakes.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday they didn't. And it cost them in the biggest game of the year to date. So well done and outstanding. Thanks for the call, Darcy. We appreciate you. All right, I know there's a bunch of you still waiting. We still have another segment of the 10 o'clock hour to get to, so we will continue to roll on with your calls. We'll have some time, too, for your texts and your social media responses as well. 844-770-3776. I want to remind you that time is money. And if you want access to your money a little bit earlier than you're supposed to because of direct deposit and early pay, then you need Associated Bank. Up to 2 days early access to your direct deposit from your employer. It's one of the beautiful things about Associated Bank, along with Packers checking and the best customer service in the area. So go to the website, associatedbank.com. Find out more about the bank, about their great customer service, about all the great perks that come with being a customer. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I say go, baby, go, go, go.
The calls continue. Let's get to one here, and then we'll get to Jim in South Dakota and Mo in Illinois at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. But let's get to Mike in Pewaukee, who's been waiting a while. Mike, good morning. Thanks for holding on so long. What do you got, buddy?
Good morning. So the positives, I thought, is when the O-line wasn't false starting, those holes for Josh Jacobs were amazing. Just watching them run through it, same with Emmanuel Wilson. It was great to see. The negatives. So I was at the game. You kind of touched on it a little earlier, how Reed was wide open. I thought Jordan Love did not hit the open wide receiver on a few other plays as well. Some slants in the middle, up the sideline, things like that. Mm-hmm. Miscues, snap. I know people at Green Bay High School who can snap better than that. That was a really bad performance on that. And it's just, it comes down to the simple things. Situational play. Your second half, second quarter, going to the half, you can't throw that interception. Just throw the ball away. Going into halftime, 10-3, that's a huge win. Can't, 17-3, and then the game plan just got messed up because I thought at the first quarter, it was just going to be a rock 'em, sock 'em kind of game. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. But once that interception happened, it was kind of, now what do we do?
Yeah, I would agree. And Tausch, I don't think we're – do you think we're being unfair with how much focus we're putting on the interception?
No.
I mean, I think that's where the game changed. It was the defining play of the game.
And it wasn't – it changed everything. And we talked – it changed how you approached your game plan. It gave them 7 points. It gave them the lead. Then they double up and score right after half. And at 24-3, even the most ardent Packers supporters knew it was going to be tough sledding with how the game, how everything shook out. And when you get stopped on the 4th-and-1, it just was not – it was – the situational football awareness, the safa was just not very good. It was, you know, just way too many mistakes. And I love when Jesse jumps in there and gives me that disavowing look.
Just go SFA if you're going to do it. You don't have to go safa. Like, that's not a word.
Safa.
Situational football awareness. Well, the bottom line is that was the play of the game. And, you know, you play 70 snaps or whatever it ends up being, and a lot of them are kind of nondescript. Every play is obviously important. You don't know when the play is going to be, but big mistakes happen. You can't overcome that big of a mistake. You can overcome a missed block or you can overcome a drop, but when you put points in their column, and they get down, and then you compound it by not stopping them the next drive, and you fall behind by 3 scores. It just makes it really tough. So, no, we're not underestimating any of that. And I do think part of things that get lost is how well we were able to run the football pretty consistently.
Yeah, he's right about that. Mm-hmm.
I think that part it gets overlooked when you get beat.
Tausch. I don't know if any of the Lions fans who had to foot the bill for some secondary market tickets and lodging and whatever else were smart enough to do this, but they could have paid off their trip to Lambeau Field with a study with Fortrea.
A bunch of different studies. And today, women currently breastfeeding ages 18 to 45, BMI 18 to 35. That study is 1 stay of 5 nights, 5 follow-ups, and 1 phoner. $10,125. That's a lot of tickets and a lot of lodging at Lambeau. And if you refer a friend, that's another $500. Also have studies, healthy adults age 18 to 60, BMI of 18 to 32. 1 stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups. $13,006. Right in your wallet. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
All right, more calls, texts, and tweets to get to, but I have to read this tweet because this is the definition, I think, of a backhanded compliment.
Ooh.
Brady is literally the worst. I would rather listen to Jesse Nelson call the game than Brady.
Wow. I think that's a compliment.
Wow.
I think that's a compliment. I'll tell you what, I listened to Dennis Semerow and Riley Youkster on Verona Heartland game.
Arrowhead.
And our hot. Yeah, Heartland Arrowhead. Is that not what I said?
No. You're right.
What? Anyways, I'm trying to compliment the Prep Mania team and what we do at ESPN. I think it's our best stuff. Dennis and Riley's got that great energy he's doing, but I'm sitting there watching it. We had a late hockey game Friday night, and I get back, and so I get tuned on, pull my phone up as Max and I are grabbing a little dinner, and there's kids on our hockey team that are also on YouTube watching the Verona, couple of Verona kids watching the game, and Trey Poteet and everything else. It was just really well, great finish to the game, fun, and I don't know how your stylist, if she was excited about it, but obviously Verona fell short, but
not a great finish for the Wildcats. Jesse, Tom Brady in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios.
If Brady's looking for some reps, we could use him maybe on the Catholic Memorial Mount Horeb Barneveld game coming up this week on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube
channel. I think he could use him.
By the way, he could talk
about how handsome you are.
1-point game on the Madison YouTube stream for Verona and Arrowhead, and also a 1-point game Catholic Memorial beat Reedsburg on a 2-point conversion in the final minute for them to win as well as they advance. So it could be fun night on the high school football video streams on ESPN Wisconsin.
On the bright side, that means fewer of those players on the current roster will go into the Hall of Fame, and that'll increase the chances for the Badgers outsider. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.